Hello, my friends. It is a new semester, new decade, new year. Oh my gosh. Whew. Man, we made it. And I feel well rested. But y'all know what this is. It is your girl. I'm joking. But it is the one and only, the Lit Southern Belle, Mimi Nava, and this is the Lit Southern Belle Podcast. And today, the topic is, or the question I have for you today is, did you really get rid of all of your stuff? And I know what you're thinking. Like, what is she talking about? Look. I got you. I'm gonna put you on game. I'm gonna let you know what I'm talking about. I'm gonna let you know what's up here inside my brain before I, you know, just go about my day, skedaddle, you know? Hey, look. Shit. Okay, so, well, this is season 3, and a little update of my life is second semester, sophomore year, and I am currently chilling. I am focused on myself because everyone else around me doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. And when I say everyone else, I mean everyone else that, you know, is dealing with me or trying to deal with me doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. So guess what I'm gonna do? While they figure it out, they do it on their own time because I'm here. And that goes for anybody and everybody. Okay, cool. So getting into the topic of, did you get rid of all your stuff? Okay. There's a joke, or there's a thing that I saw on Twitter. It was saying, like, oh, you know, half a January consists of the shit that was from last year. And very true, but at the same time, why is that? Like, it's true, I chuckle, but then I look down like, that's not healthy. Like, I'm not saying just because it's another day, the year changes, you should cut everything off. No. But some people let things linger for longer than they need to, and it ends up being a part two to their horrible and challenging year all over again. So therefore, it's a delay in the growing process. It's a delay in the healing process, and it's just, it puts you back further than what you thought. Not saying that, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda type of, you know, stuff, but damn, prevented it at least if you can. So when I saw the tweet, I was like, that was my first thought, like, damn, can we prevent half of our January? I could see half the January being like, oh, here's some shit from last year that you still haven't dealt with fully, and hope you effectively like accept it, move on, and now you can grow for the rest of the month into like the first half of the year. Or the first, yeah, not really the first half of the decade because we ain't that far in yet. But like the first half of the year. That's fine. That sounds normal. That sounds like a human thing. But what I don't like is that the fact that I see people like, I've had such a challenging year. And they've been saying that since they were 16. And I'm like, I wonder what made your year so challenging. Let me know. What made your year so challenging? Let me know. Now. And it's not to make fun of them. It's not to do anything. But it's just like, there are some things that we have to take accountability for and responsibility for when we want to change our lives. And also, we're at the point of our lives where, as young adults, that we gotta realize that some shit's our fault. Girl, is that some shit is in our control, in our power, in our hands, and that, you know, if you ain't got the right things centered in your life, that you gonna fuck some shit up bad. And, you know, I hate to say that with such horrible language, but, like, that's what the hell is gonna happen. And I'm not saying you gotta have God to center your life for everything. That works for me, but, like, I don't know if that works for you or her over there behind you, turn around. You know, type of stuff. I don't know who that works for, but I just know you gotta have something center your life that's bigger than any human on earth, because Humans disappoint you and they never will fulfill you. And that sounds very awful and pessimistic, but it's just kind of never give a human to fill you spiritually, knowing that they never had the ability to do so in the beginning. You knew they didn't have the ability to fulfill the voids and gaps that you had. And even if they do, it's temporary. It is never permanent. And it is very empty. It's empty because it's not long lasting. And most of the time, it's usually at their benefit or their convenience. So never give people the responsibility to be your God or your idol or your universe, because they will disappoint you. They will fall short every single time. And boy, it's just a draining ass process you gotta keep going through over and over. And the thing is, the universe gonna put you back into that process again until you learn, let me start depending on these people to make my happiness. Let me start depending on these people to, you know, make my life here so abundant and flowing and filling. Like, you can do that. You can do that. When you find out who you are and you find out how you move, that's the love you receive a lot. But as I continue on and see the tweet, because that was my little spiel on, you know, how people still mess up their year. But I ask a question, is that there's nothing wrong. Like I said, there is nothing wrong with stuff from last year still lingering into this year, because things are a process. When I say things are a process, I really wholeheartedly mean that things are a process. So you probably had something arise in late October, early November, and you know you were going through it, and then December you heal, you're dealing with the effects, the results. In January you may take that time to heal, but if it's some stuff that happened to you at the top half of the year and you still on that, like to the point where like you still crying over it, and I can't tell people how to grieve or do things. No. But if there's some things, there's some challenges that you still have, or there's some things that you want and you still haven't really gotten to them, yes, I understand, don't rush yourself. But there's also a balance. Because people will say, don't rush yourself. You know, you don't want to get into it and, like, rush yourself. That's fine. But also, you know, there's stuff you need to get rid of and you choose not to get rid of it. And that just causes you to be even more stuck. And that's what I'm getting to. People know they got to get rid of certain people, things, habits, and they just choose not to do it. And I think for right now, I have figured out why, because I've done this myself. And especially as a student who wants to be a better student, you know, have better grades. And I'm not saying my grades are bad, but it's just I want to do better than what I did last semester. And you got some people who have career goals. They're like, okay, I made this amount of content this month or this year. I want to do more. There is nothing wrong with that. But it's just, don't be mad when you look around and when you see the year recaps on Twitter and Instagram again. And you thinking like, that could have been me. It could have been you. If you had the same passion, determination, and fire as them, then yeah, that could have been all yours, shawty. But you weren't on your ball. You weren't on the ball. You weren't on your game like you were supposed to be. Because, and now look at you. You sitting here mad because you didn't get what you wanted. But are you surprised? You didn't do what you needed to do. So it's just a thing that I think I need to specify. Because there's nothing wrong with processing things. There's nothing wrong with things from last year going into the next year. Because some things take 3 years to get over. Some things take 4 or 5, almost a whole decade to just push through. Because that's just the universe testing you. That's just, that test is just going to be longer than others. That's not a problem. But when I really ask, did you get rid of your stuff? You know what stuff it is you need to get rid of. But you choose to let it sit there and pile up. You're being a hoarder. Figuratively, you're being a hoarder. Why do you feel like it's okay to be a hoarder? And that's the question that I've asked myself. And I guess that's what took me so long to come back here and be present and make this content for y'all, because You know, before I try to go out here, I want to give y'all something that is real. I want to give y'all something that I'm actually going through. I'm not going to sit up here in front like I am all good. I'm all fine. I'm not going to tell my business. But I'm not going to sit up here also, too, and talk to people about what they should or shouldn't do if I haven't found this in myself or edified myself. Because, you know, I sit and reflect on myself every day, every week. I don't wait till something bad happens to reflect on myself, because that's a horrible trait. And, you know, every day I try to journal how I feel, how I think, and what I think, and just why I think it. Even if it is my biggest fears, I write them down, because I write them down and I say, you know, I know this won't happen. I know that in my power, that I'm protected, I'm covered, because, you know, there's a higher power that's protecting me. There's a higher power that, you know, is going to bless me. So I try to keep my fears down by reminding myself of that every day. Even if I do have fears, yes, I will vent them, but I will remind myself who I am, what I am, and who's protecting me and who's covering me. Because that's something you have to keep in your mind. So it took me for a long time to really just think about how to really phrase this to y'all. This is why I had the question, did you get rid of all your stuff? Because what's about to come around? Spring cleaning. That shit about to come around. That shit about to, you know, people gonna complain about having to get rid of clothes, having to get rid of a bunch of stuff that they had no business having. People trying to lose weight. Get rid of weight, dropping weight. Whether it be real weight or person weight, you know, that's been bothering you, bugging you. This is the season where people are really like on restoration and renewal. So getting rid of your stuff, like, that's what they're doing. They're just getting rid of their stuff. This is the pre-spring cleaning. If anything, this is spring cleaning. You don't wait till spring to actually be cleaning. You clean before, because guess what? You want to come around spring and be a whole new person. You want to get, what people want to do? They want to work out. For what? So when it get hot, they in shape. They a whole new person. They thick or they skinny or they whatever their body goal is, they that. So when they get out here and we show the most skin at what time? When it's hot. So guess what? And when is stuff bloom and stuff? When it's hot. So that's a person really just blooming. Because this to March is the grind time. You working on whatever you want. So when it hits summertime and it hits when it gets hot, people are like, oh, dang, you grew up. Yeah, I grew up because I was working. I was grinding. Excuse me. I was grinding, sir. But you can't grind until you get rid of your stuff. Because this is the thing. Part of the grinding is getting rid of your stuff. Because it's hard. It's not easy. It's not like I'm just throwing this away, toss it aside. Like, no. It is things you have to check and edify with yourself. Like, why am I throwing this away? I need to throw this away. Why do I need to throw this away? Why am I trying to hold on to this? And that's a whole conversation you got to have with yourself. And you can't have it with everything that's done, you know, rocked your world at once. You have to sit down and break down this. Oh, you have some friendships that rocked your world or drained you, whatever, you know. You have to sit down and be like, why am I trying to hold on to this? Am I codependent on these people? If that's a yes, I need to let them go. Are these people codependent on me? Do I need them in my life? Let that go. Are these people not appreciating me, not supporting me? I need to let that go. So it's just, and then you move on to the next topic that, you know, was bothering a topic or aspect of your life that was very negative and very just low. So when you do that, it takes some time. It's a process. Yes, but if you're not effectively doing it at all, don't wonder why. I don't want to see Twitter posts about how 2020 was a part to the 2019. No, your 2020 was a part of 2019. Mine was all about renewal, restoration, being a contributor positively to anyone that's in my life. Going from being broke to getting booked and busy. That's my thing. I want to be traveling. I want to take adventures. I want to do my content. And I want it to be good. I want it to be quality. So, and that's what I realized when I would look at these year recaps. Some people had a bad first half of the year, but that second half, they came out fighting and they went through the process. They did what they were supposed to do. They were in the trenches. That's what they say. That's what the hood dudes say. In the trenches, working and, you know, grinding and stuff like that. And guess what? That second half of the year was the best part of their year. They got the relationship that they wanted, if that's what you're desiring. Or they got the job that they wanted. They traveled to places that they never seen. You know, some people have a goal for 3 countries, 3 states, or whatever, 5 countries, 5 states, stuff like that. And they got to do it and more because they put in the work towards for it at the first half. Like the dude said, you had us in the first half. I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes your life gonna get like that. But at the same time, how long do you want to stay down? How long do you want to stay always just like low, dark, depressed, and just drained? Like you just on low frequency. How long you want to stay like that? Because you can get out of it. It just takes work. Reflecting on yourself and knowing and just kind of taking pieces out of yourself that may have been included since childhood that you realize that's not effective for your life and is also very damaging. You got to take that out and unlearn it. And then relearn something else that you realize that is now a better solution, is more effective. That process is rough. Unlearning and relearning things and then training yourself to do so is the hardest thing I think you ever have to do. And that's why being or self-evolving is literally the hardest thing, but it's the most rewarding. So, honestly, I just feel like you just got to get rid of your stuff. If you want to be one of these people, you want to come around 2020, December, talking about the top four of your 2020. If you like that stuff, me personally, I don't like that stuff. I journal stuff for myself because my progress, I'm my own competition. I'm my own, you know, second, third place, first place. Like I'm trying to get a better version of me. You know, no one's going to do me like me. I've already won, you know. So if y'all want to sit around and have a subtle flex when it comes around to December and you want to have something to talk about, you want to have something to be proud about, you really got to get down and get dirty emotionally and mentally. You got to get dirty. You really got to start treating yourself like an investment, like a little, what's those things, stocks. You got to treat yourself like a stock. What you put in, and when you put it in, is what you're going to get out of it. Whatever, however that works. I'm just saying, you got to invest in yourself in general. So what you put in is what you get out. You treat yourself like crap. You don't motivate yourself. You don't hold yourself accountable. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to get the same things you got. Or the same things you've been getting. So you're going to get the same thing you've been getting. And nothing will change. Because no one's going to wave a magic wand and be like, oh, you've been struggling a lot. You've been struggling with, you know, this relationship, this friendship. Well, to me, those are both relationships. So you've been struggling with these relationships, this job, you've broke. Guess what? I'm going to just give you a bunch of money. Wave my wand, give you a bunch of money, and then wave my wand, and everyone will like you. That's not how that works. Hate to break it to you, sis, sir. Not how that works. You got to get rid of your stuff. You got to. So yes, I'm going to get off my soapbox and actually tell you how to get rid of your stuff, because I've done it. Have I finished doing it? Yes, somewhat. I'm in the process where I gotta apply what I've seen and what I've, how to say it's not seen, but observed, and just really follow through with that, hold myself accountable. And for myself, really this semester, like I got stuff I want to do, I'm gonna do it. I'm not going to be scared no more. I'm not going to be timid. I'm not going to be... I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do it. I'm going to just do it because I can. If I want to, I will. 2020. Look, nobody planning to play with me. I'm not going to play myself about... I know what I can do. I know what I'm capable of. And people don't see that. That's fine. I see that. And guess what? The right people will see it because that's just how it go. That's just how it go. But no. Yeah. So... But break down why people don't want to get rid of their stuff. And also why it's important to get rid of your stuff. Because you can't be a hoarder. Cannot be a hoarder. It ain't cute. It ain't healthy. And it's just downright wrong. just downright wrong. Like, get out of here. Come on. Oh my God. But I'm laughing, but I'm being so dead serious. I'm laughing because I'm just a goofball, y'all. All right, so here is the breakdown of why people just don't want to get rid of their stuff. Number one, they have become codependent on it. And when I say it, it can be platonic or romantic relationships. It can be that job, or it can be this fact that you just like the way you live in. You know you want to do better, but you don't want to put the work in to be better. So, like, it's just really being comfortable in settling. You're settling. I didn't want to say that. I'm trying to be nice, but you're settling. You're settling for the lowest quality, and you have become okay with it due to your laziness. Number two, some people don't know who they are yet and don't know their worth. They don't realize that there are people that will move mountains for you and literally jump off. There were people that will risk their life for you and die about you and thrive in your presence. Real talk. There are people who really won't play about you out here, but you've had your fair share of dealing with crappy people. So you think all you're going to get is crappy people. And you, back to number one, you settle for crappy people. So, yeah. So number two, like you said, you don't know your worth. So then you go back to number one. You settle. And all these tie together is just that these are what's coming to my mind. And then number three, obligation. You keep it because you think you have to. You'll be like, no, they did this and this for me. Or no, I can't leave this because, like, I just feel bad if I do. I feel like I'm doing them wrong. Or I feel like, you know, I can't try to make this money. That's a huge risk. And, you know, I just don't have the money to. Or, you know what? If I start this business now, what if I don't have no money? And, you know, and this, that, and the third. So also fear. And when I say obligation, I mean in just like, some people feel like that job is all they have. Like their job is all they have. That if they leave it, they can't do any better. And also the fact is, if the job was a good job for them. But also, too, you realize, like, it's a time and a place to leave things. It's a time and place for everything. If you feel like you're not growing there anymore, why stay there? Some people do that with their careers. They'll be in a place that they've outgrown. And then also the next step is fear. They don't want to leave because they don't. Like, going back to number one, comfort. They're not comfortable. So it's just a lot. And then the fourth one, it really is, to me, is just like fear. Well, I already said fear, but the next one, oh God, I already said fear. That's embarrassing. Don't do that, my friends. The next one, really, I think it is, it's just stubborn. They don't want to change to do well. And it's like they know what's wrong with them. And they know what's keeping them from it. And it's usually themselves. They don't want to get out of their own way. They have this sort of sense of pride of like, I don't need no one's help. I don't need to change. I'm fine the way I am. That's not true. Sis, that is not true. That is not true. We all have room for improvement. We all have things we need to change about ourselves. And at the end of the day, it's your choice if you want to change it or not. But do not be mad because you got comfortable with where you were. Don't be mad because you got comfortable with where you were and wonder why you look around at December this year and you're still in the same place. You don't have any more money in your pocket. You haven't seen anything new. You haven't elevated yourself in any aspect of your life. You're doing the same old, same old, same old. And you have the nerve to complain. Don't ever. That's the last thing you should do. Because you don't want to recognize that you're comfortable with low quality. That you fear stepping out of your comfort zone because your comfort is pulling you back. And on top of it, you don't know who you are. You haven't taken the time to be by yourself because you're so comfortable being around these low quality people or this low quality energy. And guess what? It's distracting you from getting to know you. You can't be around low quality, expect to know who you are, because low quality will always tell you what you're not and what you're not going to be and just how trash you are. And you'll have those thoughts lingering around in your head, and it will affect how you move, how you speak, and overall, your whole presentation. It will affect everything. So, yes, don't you said that's the basis of everything. You settle for low quality. Guess what? You start to think you're that way. So then you start to be lied about. So then you let these bad spirits come in and lie to you about who you are. And then on top of it, it makes you fear something that's better for yourself, to the point where you're stubborn and think you don't need to change. And then guess what? You become codependent on whatever it is holding you back, whether it be yourself. And you recognize all of this, and you see this horrible cycle, you end up becoming more stubborn, more angry. You don't want to change because you hate being wrong. You have pride. Don't want to admit you're wrong. You don't want to admit when you need help. You wonder why you're in the position you're in, because you're so scared to jump out of your comfort zone and be like, hey. And also, you don't realize that there are people out here that will literally die about your existence. Now, I wouldn't say literally, but they would die about your existence and thrive in your presence because that's how much they love you. You're wanted and needed at all times, and it does not drain them, because that's what they chose to do. Everything around you is wanted and needed by you, and it's only yours. There are some things out there for you that are like that. It ain't always gotta be people. It can be jobs. Come to you, only meant for you. A source of income that you found, which is a job. Comes to you, only meant for you. Now you in your bag. Now you out here stunting on them. I'm not saying buying all that material stuff is important and cool, but like, you in a more comfortable place. The things that you want to do, you're able to do. I'm not saying buying the most expensive bags and flying on jets, but no, you get to have more experiences because of the doors that have been open for you, because you stepped out of your comfort zone and you put yourself around people who put you in those positions and cared enough to share them with you. You cannot be afraid to change your life. That's why people don't want to get rid of their stuff. They're afraid to change their life. They're afraid that they'll be alone. And that's a whole another podcast for a whole another day of being afraid to be alone. I have a whole little spiel for that because, dear Jesus, been there. Trying to get out of that type of thinking, because it can be overbearing to people when you're afraid to be alone. But I digress. When you don't want to get rid of your stuff, you're the nerd to go on Twitter and write a paragraph about how your year's been crap. Before you write that paragraph, I want you to sit down and think, what did I do this year to put myself in a better position? And if I did do some stuff to put myself in a better position, okay, am I just impatient? That's the question you should ask yourself, because there are some people out here who have done great and wonderful things, and they've had these expectations, and sometimes some people can be their toughest critic. Thankful me. Example me. Literally, I am my toughest critic. I'm horrible. I'm like the Rotten Tomatoes of myself. I would give myself literally 90% Rotten Tomatoes. Why? I don't know. Because I will sit up and compare what they did to they did and she did and he did over there behind the corner, you know, hiding. Like, it's just... But also, when you realize and you look back, which is why I always say, my friends, when you sit and you journal your life, you will see your own progress. So just go through and read that shit. Like, I probably, on my 20th birthday, would read my old journal because I just started another journal. Mind you, I came into college freshman year, had that journal, and I finished the journal, I would say, the day before class started. Because that journal was filled of mistakes and learning and things of that nature. It was a phase of my life that I no longer am a part of. So I started another journal where this phase is really all about opening and being vulnerable and just pacing myself. It's a phase of expansion. Some people will come with me, some people won't. So that's why I did what I did. That's why it's important to journal. And that's another episode on its own because, y'all, I have to really break down how I journal because, girl, sir, that's another serious topic. Not really serious, it's just it takes more time to explain. But no, you have to really sit through and look through your year, what has all happened. Look at pictures. If you're a person that takes a bunch of pictures, look at pictures and be like, okay, what have I done? What have I seen that, you know, no one else has seen? Or what have I seen and what did it mean to me? What did I learn from that? Because I hate to say it. I'm going to say this because we get so caught up in the social media of people going to these nice places. People finding love and people, you know, graduating or people getting all A's, 4.0. It's nothing wrong to want those things, but you also realize that your life is not bound to just these types of accomplishments. So when I say, did you get rid of all your stuff? How have you grown emotionally? Have you got rid of the emotion? Have you got rid of the toxic traits that you've been bearing since childhood because they've been placed upon you and you thought that was normal? Have you tried to unlearn those and relearn healthier options to better cope with yourself? Or have you just been ignoring it and hoarding all that baggage that's weighing you down mentally and spiritually? Because those things to me are connected. How you work your spirit, your mind gonna follow. Your mind's gonna follow once you train it correctly. But like I say, but you just have to really ask yourself those questions. Because I always run into people saying, I've had a horrible year, this and third, I haven't done nothing. I'm like, okay. All right, so I'll sit down with them, right? Talk to them. I'm like, okay, so your year was horrible. Feel like you didn't do nothing. So I want you to sit down, and I want you to write the things that you've done this year. I don't care if they were on campus. I don't care if they were anywhere. Write down something that you've done this year. Or go through, for matter of fact, since we're a generation where we record everything, we do everything, go through your Snapchat, go through your photos, and look at the things you've done. Look at how happy you were. Yeah. There were some phases that weren't so pretty. There were some phases where your hair wasn't done and you didn't feel like recording, or you were depressed about some stuff and you didn't feel like recording or feel like taking pictures. You didn't feel like showing your face to nobody. Guess what? That's still recorded because you see the gap from March. You see the gap from January to March. Like, there are so many things that so many people have done. Honestly, for me, in my personal opinion, just making it through the year is an accomplishment, because we know some people who have not made it to say, I'm in the new decade and this decade is about to be different for me. You have literally seen the clock turn 12 and seen 2019 go to 2020, and you have, guess what? You have had another opportunity to get up off your ass, do what you want to do when you want it to, and realize that you can do this shit. But you continue to compare yourselves to shawty on the Instagrams, old girl on Twitter, and all this extra stuff. And there's a spectrum, there's a scale. And those people, I'm gonna address those people too. Don't be those people. Because you damn sure don't want to be the person that ain't done nothing for real and wonder why they in the same place. But you also don't want to be your toughest critic to where you discount the small victories you've obtained as if they're nothing. Because, damn, neither one is healthy. Neither one is, how I say, neither one is effective in your growth. we are about to hit 20, 21. That's our early 20s. 22, 23. That's our early 20s. That's the time when we learn the damn most. You ain't gotta have all that shit together. And also, but on the other hand, for the people on the other side of the spectrum, start getting your shit together. So when you hit 30, you're not in the same damn place working a job that you hated since you graduated college. And wonder why the fuck you still at that job. Some things are on you. Some things are real life on you, bro. Like, no one told you to do that shit. No one told you to go out and waste time and squander away. People always would say, well, take your time, send a third, and use take your time and sit and be still and be lazy. That's not what that means. That is not what that means. That's you misunderstood, and you squandered time and wondered where it went. And now you're mad. Can't be mad about it but yourself. You done brought it on yourself. That's what Martin said. You brought it on yourself. Cannot be mad. For real. But no. The fact that I done told y'all how why people don't want to get rid of this stuff. I've also addressed the fact that people who are the opposite try to get rid of everything and realize that they have nothing. And or realize that they just went overboard and they discounted everything that they done as if it was nothing. To tricking themselves that they've done nothing. And then you have people who don't want to try to change to do something. Even a little bit. See, this is the thing. We're young. We're great. We're beautiful. We're smart. We're fucking brilliant. But damn, sometimes we think we gotta have the finished product as soon as we start. And niggas be getting mad. Excuse me for saying niggas, but it's just people be getting mad because they try to start. I can't do it. Oh my gosh, I messed that up. Well, hell, you're not gonna be born a superstar. So who the fuck told you that when you start this shit or you start this process emotionally that it was going to be easy? Because child, no one said that it was gonna be easy or be handed to you. All we said was get rid of that stuff. Yes, it's gonna hurt. Yes, you probably feel like you can't live without it, but damn it, you about to learn how to thrive with better. And damn, it's a process. Yes, I'm aware, but come on. You cannot be stuck right here. Why would you want to stop? Inhale. And continue to live in hell and accept hell. That's stupid. Don't do that. All right. So I said why people don't want to get rid of it. And then, well, how? You have to sit and realize what the fuck is going on. And I know that's easier said than done, because you're like, what do you mean? Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I don't know what's going on my damn self. Like, I'm confused as hell. Look, bro. But you also need to realize when you're not being treated right and when you're not being done right. And you also need to realize, number one, who the fuck you are. Like, do you think of yourself as the shit? Do you think of yourself worthy of being respected on a high level? Do you really think of yourself as being, you know, you want nothing but high quality around you, so you won't accept anything less? You won't even settle? Those are things you gotta ask yourself, really, when you getting to know yourself. But also, too, you can't get to know yourself if you around niggas who ain't supporting you. You around niggas who really just... And I hate to say niggas, but you around people that just aren't supporting you. You around people who aren't even encouraging to expand to where you can get to know you. So you should be around people, and I think I've said this before, you should be around people who treat themselves good, meaning that they respect themselves. They're not finna accept low quality, low frequency people. Because why? That they don't know what that means. They don't know what that is. They don't speak that language. They don't speak that broken up, toxic language. what they do is they speak higher, and they're not finna come stoop back down to where the fuck you are to make you feel good. You're not on my level, I'm about to go. You're not doing what I need you to do, I'm about to go. You need friends that really will be quick to hold you accountable. And when I say hold you accountable, yes, hold you accountable, but also they do themselves that way. You need to watch how people treat themselves. Because how they treat themselves is how they're going to treat you. Because how they treat themselves is also how other people have treated them. Guess what? They're going to take those things and think, guess what? That is normal. And guess what? They're going to treat you that same way. And it's a cycle. It's a dirty cycle. Sometimes it can be a clean cycle, depending on who you really rocking with. But you really have to think about how people treat themselves. Is it good? Do they self-reflect? Do they really care about themselves? Do they take care of themselves? Because if someone takes care of themselves, they know how to take care of you. And I won't say verbatim they know how to take care of you because they know how to take care of you, but they know how to start and they know where to start. And also, since they're a person that reflects and asks questions, they can ask you how you like to be taken care of, how you like to do things. You have to have people who are mindful and considerate around you to spark these type of conversations, to spark these type of questions. You have to be around people who think deeply and analytically and critically, because you don't want to be around simple-minded people. It just won't work, unless that's what you want. Just be careful in what you welcome. Just be careful. I don't even say be careful, but just be ready to what you're about to walk into. My thing is, the people around you reflecting who you are, and are you proud of the people that they are? Yes, people make mistakes, and this and the third, all that. And that's not what I'm saying. But what they stand for, their morals, are they aligned with yours? Are they going to push you and motivate you to be, you know, the person you know you are? Are they going to remind you, hey, don't even get out that situation. You are so much better than that. That's not what you're worth. You literally should not even be accepting this low quality ass shit. So really look at yourself. Okay, how am I? What do I want? What do I want to attract? And then when you do attract the people that you've spoken into existence, okay, how are they? Let me see, there's some things that I may not like, there's some faults I may not like, but am I willing to sit and tolerate this? Am I willing to do this and that and the third? Because, you know, you don't want to trick down with some people. You don't want to love people because of what they can only do for you, because that is selfish. But you do want to love someone for also how they treat you. But at the same time, you have to love the person for just essentially who they are. Even when you don't benefit from it. Because as humans, we tend to give empty love and want empty love. Meaning that someone will only love us despite of what's on their checklist. Are you checking off the things in their checklist? Are you really sitting here and, you know, people have a list of how they think, of how they want a friend. Oh, I want her to like this and this things, and I want her to be nice. I want her to be like conversational, friendly. And if she's in one of those, if she's in like half the list, she gotta go. But the thing is, you can be turned on a person that is fucking amazing, is aware of their self-worth, can encourage you to do yours. So mostly you really have to look at a person's morals. We always have this checklist that's very basic and surfaced, and we forget that like these things are very temporary, these things are very fleeting. How a person looks, what's a person's interest, shit like that. Yes, I understand interest is needed because you want some friends that do what you do and this and the third or whatever like that. But with the rest of a person, you gotta be someone that's a thinker. That means that someone who thinks like, okay, I've never done this before, but I will try. This and the third. Those are people who you won't find making those harsh ass lists and those harsh ass criteria. As humans, we only love people for what they can do for us. If they're not providing anything, we will stop loving them. And we won't love them just because, oh, I like how they are as a person. I like how they treat me because this is really how they are. Oh, they're not really offering me anything. You know, I don't get any perks to being with this person. People are like that.
And the perks don't have to be materialistic. It's also too, like, do they feed into, they don't always gotta be boosting you up. How do you feel around them essentially? How do you feel in their presence? Because as humans, you know, we're very empty people sometimes. You cannot fuck with an individual because of what they can do for you. And you ain't doing shit for them. And on top of it, you can't just take, because it turns into codependency. But, you know, that's another conversation. So really, you have to learn how to be an unconditional, interdependent person, meaning that they're not always gonna be able to offer you something, but you gotta be okay with that. Also meaning that interdependency, you be around them because you want to, not because you feel like you have to, and also because you enjoy doing it and you get nothing in return out of it. You just want to be there in their face because you can and because you will and because there's something yearning you to just be there with them. It's nothing forced. It's nothing like, hey, it's just there. It just clicks and happens. You can't really like explain why. But that's enough really about the friend part. But also, you can't do stuff like that until you know who you are and what you want and know how to work yourself to attracting the things that you want. Because this is the thing. You have to be I always tell people, you got to be intentional with the connections that you make. That if you see something, you like it, pursue it. But at the same time, hope and pray that whatever you are putting out there is not being misunderstood. Meaning that how you are and what you're thinking that you're doing may not communicate to them as this, that, that, and the third that you're thinking up here in your head. You got to make sure that this is very intentional, it's very purposeful, and it's just very transparent. So that's really important when trying to get people in your circle that motivate you. That's the base. Because when you know who you are, you can attract the right people. You can put yourself in the right positions and have the right amount of motivation. Because I don't care what you say. You know who you are. You walk around here in circles every day. You don't know the core of yourself. You don't know the morals that you stick by. Just, you know, no one told you to do them. It's just what you stick by. It's what you think. It's what you, like, no one can shake you from that. You don't know those things about yourself. You will always fuck up with other people. You will always fuck up with your career, because how are you going to have motivation when you don't know who you are or how you built? You're going to have people telling you all types of crazy ass shit and steering you away. And guess what? You'll end up getting defeated, feeling defeated and discouraged. And guess what? You don't follow through with that shit because you don't know who you are. You know, and you don't know not to, like, not listen to them niggas. Not listen to the people that hate on you. You have to know who you are, but for the base of anything. That's how you get rid of your shit. You start from the inside out, literally. Getting rid of your shit. Getting rid of the toxic traits that you fucking learned from your teenage life or to other past bad experiences and realize that that shit ain't normal. That shit ain't cool no more. That shit don't work on everybody. Everybody ain't gonna be like this motherfucker that you done dealt with. Guess what? People out here are different. You gotta move with them differently. You gotta think about them differently. You have to talk to them differently. Down to just that simple fact of that. And you have to think about them differently. You can't compare them to the other dude that you used to merge with. You can't compare it to the other set of friends that you had. You can't compare this new opportunity to the opportunity that didn't work. You have to keep moving and really just think about it. I'm gonna do everything my power I can to make it work. And if it doesn't, I shouldn't be disappointed because I did everything I could do to make it work. It just wasn't the time for it. And can you be okay with that? Because if you can't, you're not ready. Hey, my friends. Welcome back to season 3. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I hope that you can take a page out of the rule book and slap it on and apply it to your life, because that's the goal. That's the plan. Don't forget to follow the Instagram at the Let's of the Bell on Instagram. Yeah, on Instagram. Wow. And don't forget to follow the Twitter at the Lit Southern Bell. And don't forget, if you want to keep up with me, be nosy and see my life, which is trying to be exciting at the most, follow me at mimi.nava_. So that's mimi.navah_. And follow me on Twitter at mimi nava. Stay flourishing, my friends.